Hi, and thank you for joining me on my second interview recording this day for the Folkin.com pre-Croperty interviews. And I'm so pleased on this occasion, despite the wind outside and the weather, I'm actually talking to Damien Wilson and Adam Wakeman. How are you two?
Very well. Thanks for having us on. Exceptionally well.
Yeah.
Exceptionally well and very grateful to be here on your show.
You're very kind because, you know, I'm keep on saying these my Folkin.com audio interviews are going to be world-renowned. And I keep trying to get them. And every time I say, come and have a listen to our world-renowned audio interviews, people laugh. But, you know, we are getting there now. I've been doing them since 2001, so we should have some sort of some credibility, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. That's the beauty of being able to do things like this, isn't it? Is you can listen anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. So I can officially say, you know, a world-renowned interview, so that's great. And I'm just having a chat to you pre-recording here when we was getting set up, and I can't believe that Damien actually lives in a similar place to what I live in. We both live in kind of vans, don't we?
I live in a van. I've got this funny feeling that your place is actually a little grander than mine because my van moves. I'm in a different spot every night. Actually, it is a bizarre life.
Right.
And currently, I'm outside Adam's house. Which,
yeah, he gets moved on from my house every now and again.
I bet he does.
When my fridge starts to get a bit empty of vegan food.
Do you know what? There's something else as well because actually I ride here today and. Yeah. And I noticed there's somebody else in the spot outside
really?
His house.
Hell,
there
yes,
is a, there is another van that's part. I live on a kind of, it's like a sort of a dead end road where it's sort of there's a line of trees between the main road and our kind of street. So it's a nice spot if you want to stop. We get a lot of people sort of pull over and kind of have a kip in their car or whatever. And you do get a few people travelling. They tend to stop for a day or so. Damien, however, sometimes stops for a little longer.
Nice, I like it. Does he sort of pull up unexpectedly and say, can I hook up? Can I plug me electricity?
There is, that does happen every now and again. When he's here for any length of time, I mean, we're recording an album at the moment, so he's going to be here on and off, you know, for the
next
hooked up.
it's not the same when all the lights go out. That's the thing, you know, it's nice to be able to you know, read a book at the end of the evening, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I basically unplug him and I go to bed. That's
No, there's cameras everywhere. There's cameras all outside. Honestly, he's monitoring everything I do.
He's got cameras everywhere. He's looking at you all the time.
It's mainly to watch my daughter's now 18. She comes back from the pub. I just want to see how pissed she is.
Yeah, you've got monitor at all times. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good idea. It's what I have to do with mine, and they're 35 now. And they don't even live with me. But anyway, it's great to talk to you two. You're playing Croperty this year. I mean, I can't even begin to describe what you guys have done. I mean, your CVs they're amazing. I mean, for you, Adam, you've been playing with Ozzy Osbourne. It's only a little thing, you know.
20 years.
Your dad's Rick Wakeman. That's only a little thing. And in fact, I literally bumped into your dad. I mean, literally, physically bumped into your dad at Leicester Square once. I was coming out of Global Radio, and I was because I've been up there doing some stuff. And I went into a cafe, and I come out of a cafe, and I bumped into somebody. And I looked up, and there was this big leather jacket clad chap, about 6 foot tall. And I physically bumped into your dad. So there you go.
Excellent. A friend of mine said I nearly ran over your dad the other day, and my dad was walking in the middle of the road down in where he's moved to in Suffolk, and he said, yeah, I couldn't believe it. He was shocked that he'd nearly been run over. He said I was quite shocked I'd nearly killed Rick Wakeman.
Excellent. Well, I mean, that's just part of your CV because you're always playing. You've got a long stream of people you've worked with. The names go on and on, don't they? I mean, what do you do? Did people just phone you out and go, here, come and play for us, Adam? I mean, you must have a... Did you just go down your phone book and go, yeah, I need some work this week. I'll phone up a few people. Is that how it works?
No, it never works like that. Whenever you're looking for work, there's never any there. It's more so that when you're doing a gig, another gig comes along and you can't do it because you're already committed to something else.
But
I've been very I've been quite fortunate with the way that, like, Ozzy, the gig with Ozzy came about. I was working with Annie Lennox and I got a job offer to go and do Travis. And I jumped off of the end of Annie Lennox onto Travis. And then whilst I was working with Travis, I got a call about working with Ozzy. And I actually said no to start with because I was in the middle of the tour with Travis. And then Ozzy had his accident. He fell off a quad bike, broke bone in his neck. And then he was then off for 18 months. And then I finished working with Travis. And then when they came out to tour again, with, you know, Ozzy tour again, they asked me if I was available. And it was just by chance I was, because I'd just finished this other tour. So I was, you know, it was fortunate for me about that Ozzy was cancelling his tour for 18 months, but obviously not so good for him. But that worked, worked well for me, and then obviously I've been there ever since.
Yeah, you're a regular now, aren't you? And the other great thing about you two is you sort of come together. You play together in Headspace, which is your own band, isn't it?
Yes,
you've been playing together, so you know. And Damien, I mean, you play there with that all the time, and you've been playing with other people as well. You've got quite a long CV, equally, haven't you? You two.
Well,
it must be good to come together and get some ideas bashing about. Surely,
it's,
you two.
It's brilliant. I mean, the real thing that motivates me is I like to sing. I like to sing. I like to be creative.
And I must say, your voice is tremendous. I was just watching some YouTube videos. One of the tracks that I love, "Seek for Adventure," I watched.
Ah,
yeah, you've got a hell of a set of pipes on you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. We'll be playing that at Crofton for
sure. Oh, good.
That's very much a Crofton song.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And so, I mean, we you know, sort of Headspace is a band that's a progressive metal band, you know. Mm. And we were very surprised the first time when we were asked to play Crofton off Crofton Folk Festival with a progressive metal band.
happens all the time. I mean, Alice Cooper's played there, for God's sake.
I know, but you see, we got a bigger response than Alice Cooper.
Oh yeah, much better.
We were far more hated.
Yeah.
We cleared the field. We absolutely cleared the field with it. We did. I mean, I don't know if you remember that particular time and the amount of abuse thrown at us on stage.
What year was this?
This must have been 2016.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
We came back, obviously, as Wilson Wakeman.
I don't want to project this as just disaster, because it was, because when we went back, it was a completely different story. You know, we had a progressive metal band, and we cleared the field, and we had a mosh pit, and
I think mosh pit's a bit strong.
Well, it does exist because there is YouTube footage of it. And I've said before, it did look like they were Morris dancing, but it is a mosh pit all the same. And we had this, you know, I have this thing where I sometimes call the wall of death, you know. And at one point I did say to one of the guys, I was thinking about the wall of death. And his response was, "That's fantastic." He said, "Everybody loves Richard Thompson." And it's like, and then suddenly it's like, of course, the song, The Wall of Death. No, I was actually thinking of The Wall of Death, the metal split the crowd. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. No one really, we weren't on the same wavelength when it came to the metal band. It was a different thing.
There was, in fact, one of the concession stands, a guy that had been having to stand there for about 15, 20 years, went up to Gareth, one of the organisers, and just said, "My children are crying, make it stop."
Gareth did, yeah, I can imagine. Gareth's response to that. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, well,
yeah, right.
Put it in a box somewhere.
Well, it was...
I've got some gaffer tape you can borrow.
It was a different thing when we returned, because we returned, you know, as a tour of us.
Yes,
playing,
I remember that.
Playing the, you know, sort of a more acoustic bass.
The more laid-back sitting down set that was, wasn't it?
Oh, well, we were standing up.
Oh, yeah.
They may have been sitting down. They weren't running away. That was the important thing.
Right.
You know, they weren't running away from the field. That was a good thing.
I remember
it
well.
So we went out. Yeah, we had a great time. Mm. We had a great time. But
we make a full weekend of it. We all bring our families, and stay for that. It's the probably the one festival I'm happy to stay for the entire time. Played lots of festivals, downloads, great festivals, but it's not as kind of calm and friendly as Property.
That's right.
It's a lovely atmosphere there, and you can let your kids go off and
Yeah, I've been going with my kids since they were just about walking, and you can trust them. They can go off, they can come back, and I've tried to leave without them several times, but never got around to it.
They always come back
pulling on my shirt just as I'm trying to get out the gate and get on the M40 on the way home. But it is a really lovely festival, and you're right. As the Joshua was saying the same. It's certainly one that, because a lot of bands do, they kind of fly in, literally turn up in their motorcades and they shoot off. They do their set and then they go. But the ones who do stay around, like yourself, and a lot of the artists like Mary Heller staying around and people like that, and I know Joshua was staying around, do say that. It's not just a question of playing, it's a question of actually enjoying the whole event for the whole weekend, isn't it, really?
I think this is part of the problem over the years where you kind of, you know, we book a lot of our own shows for Wilson and Wakeman. Purely because that way we can control the schedule. So we know that if we go up to Scotland, we can maybe add another couple of days in there so we can have a little look around or go and, you know, visit some friends or whatever else. If we're, you know, you kind of get an agent to book. I've been working with Tony Hadley quite a lot recently.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and
yeah.
The schedules, I mean, we've played some fantastic shows, but the schedules are quite, you know, heavy duty. You know, we did five in a row in three different countries, for example. So you never really get a great deal of time to sort of, you know, see anything. And that's fine, but sometimes you just want to have a day off.
You just want to chill out and enjoy it, don't you? Yeah.
And the festivals, we deliberately didn't book any other shows over that weekend so we can both enjoy it and get to talk to people as well. It's such a, you know, it's a rare opportunity you get to sort of, you know, see what people think.
Oh yeah, it's one of the things I've done in the past. There is I've got my pass and I go back and Stevie arranges lots of interviews for me. But quite often, some of the best fun times are caught at the bar. You know, chatting at the bar. I remember one particular time when we was chatting away. I think we were chatting to Dave Pegg. I'm not sure, but. Bless his heart. Somebody popped up, the guy, Martin Alcock, when he was alive, he ducked down and he popped up with a little xylophone and started playing Matty Groves on the xylophone up at a bar. Only Mark could do that. And it was like, so he did a whole rendition of Matty Groves and lovely things like that. And a lot of stories come from chatting at the bar, don't they, there? It's mostly alcohol induced, but, you know.
Well, you know, everyone's enjoying themselves, but the other thing is there's only one bar, isn't there? There's no bar backstage, it's just the bar. And what I like about Cropperty is it is a, to me, what a festival should be. I think it led the way. When I was a teenager, I heard about Cropperty Festival and I was longing just to go, you know. Not to play, but literally just to turn up. You know, it was a dream of mine to go there, and more so than any other festival, because I felt it was always such a genuine festival with a great feel to it. And with Fairport, Dave Pegg's a lovely man. I used to write to him when I was a teenager, and he always responded.
Yeah.
And he was always positive.
Yeah.
And even, you know, even to the extent of, you know, when with the studio, you know, Woodward Studios, and he would say, oh, you know, come if you're doing something, you know, let, you know, Fairport can be a backing band, and you know, just the support. and it's amazing because it was a real inspiration for myself. And then when you start going to festivals, and I can give you a whole list of festivals that you will go to, and it just seems like they are just trying to extort as much money out of the people coming as they can with their VIP sections and their separation and all that.
Right.
And you have none of that.
No, you don't.
And it's a decent, lovely festival. And you know what else is wonderful? Mm. There is a canal.
I know.
Past it.
Beautiful.
A boating community. Beautiful boating
just
community.
Don't park your van too close to the boat.
Exactly. That canal is a beautiful thing, but my son-in-law fell in it on trying to find his way back to his tent. He went right in. And a drunken stuff. But the great thing is he went, it's near the bridge, and there's a house near the bridge, and then one of those. He got in it soaking wet, and this lady came out of this house, a lovely, obviously a villager came out. She said, oh my God, you okay? Come on in. And she asked him into the house, gave him towels, let him drive his car, made sure he's okay, and sent him on his way. I mean, that wouldn't happen in a lot of places, you know what I mean?
That's
a crop.
Although
story to remember, that one is.
Although there is a community on the river, of course, you know, and that also goes to the houses that are alongside. I mean, I love the in the waterways, you know, and the canal, absolutely love it. Yeah. And that's of course why, the time when I first went to Crockley, I went on a boat,
from London, I came on
a boat. And then the next time I came to Crockley, I came on the same. I left you guys. Was that the first time when you said, when are you going to the festival?
We were rehearsing 3 weeks before the festival. Yeah. And Damien said, I'll see you there. And we're like, well, it's not 3 weeks yet. He goes, no, I'm going by boat.
It's going to take that long to get there. Yeah, absolutely. What a lovely journey.
I mean, you're not going to arrive stressed, are you?
No, not at all. You're going to be so
very
late.
Very relaxed.
Whatever. You know, whatever. When's the sound check? Yeah, whatever. cool stuff. So what can we expect to see from you on the day then? Are you going to be playing a blistering set or is it going to be quite chilled?
I'm going to be sat down and Damien's going to be stood up. That's pretty much
it. I'm going to stand up for that time, I think, yeah.
Well, he'll have to now, won't he?
Our set. we're gonna play songs from our from our musical. I was gonna say career. It seems
it is a career with you. You are a duo.
It's an occasion for our career. Yeah. But we're
not 12. We're something. So we do have a career.
So everything we play is.
It's not a very successful one, but we do.
You're doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well. And I like to feel that I'm a little bit more successful than Adam.
Yeah.
Because I always think, when I was a boy, I thought Elvis Presley, he died at 43. And I thought, well, if I could, outlive him, then I would be more successful. John Lennon, the same thing.
You are most definitely more successful in this being alive state.
I have successfully lived longer.
Well, you didn't know what you've done is what you've mixed up the words succeeded and successful. You succeeded their life expectancy.
You have done well.
Those people are sadly dead.
I think I've done very well. My next birthday's 54, and yes. I'm pretty impressed by that.
Long way it continue. You got an album coming out together. Will that be ready for Crockbody?
It won't be ready for Crockbody, but it'll be coming out in January. We're going on tour in January, so we'll be up and down the country.
With other members, is that you just as a duo, or will you bring a band?
It's just the two of us. We do get on very well.
Yeah.
And one of the beauties of our relationship is that we can just get up and go. Yeah. And it's much easier to plan shows when it's just the two of us rather than trying to get headspace together and all that kind of.
I'm sure you two are really comfy in Damien's camper van together.
We
drive up. We basically anything we talk about during the shows is what we've discussed in the vans.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no boundaries, are there?
I can imagine.
We've never said to each other, do you mind if you don't mention that? We've never said that.
No.
So you never know what's going to happen.
They just get pushed a little bit further every year, so we're really looking forward to the next tour. And we're in the middle of the album at the minute, so that will be ready for January.
Excellent stuff. Well, listen, lads, I've only got the free Zoom because we don't have a lot of money at Folkin.com, and it only gives us half hour.
I probably talk too much.
Our bandwidth on the website as well. Our bandwidth always get told off because I said to Joshua, I actually love talking to people about songwriting because I play myself and I've got a band and I'm recording and I'm a songwriter. I get right into conversations about what spikes you off to write a song and everything like that. And quite often these interviews go on so long and I send them up to Paul, our web guy, and he goes, what the hell? How am I going to get that on? It's 25 minutes long, and then I have to get it in there and I'm chopping bits out and I'm loathe to chop out bits, you know what I mean? Because they're really interesting and it takes me 15 hours to edit because I want to get little bits in. I did the same. I interviewed Ralph McTowell and it was at a time when he was, I think it was about 65, I can't remember now, but it was a poignant time of his life and I got right into how he writes songs with him, and you can imagine with Ralph McTowell. And we had to split the interview into three parts on the website. Part one, part two, part three. I had to go back and voice. I was saying, right, end of part one. have a cup of coffee, come back for part two. So I was doing these little voice drops, and that's what happens with me, because I do rabbit on too much. And as you say, we've got so much in common with Damien, because he obviously rattles on too much as well.
Exactly.
I do. It is interesting, because I had a gathering with some singers and musicians just a couple of days ago, and it was really interesting to hear how they write, and also how they learn and how they work on things. That, because I don't have those conversations with singers. I don't often meet up with singers and writers. And it's really interesting.
And quite often with interviews, the reason I like to get into it is quite often with the sort of media interviews, they just want to know about, okay, you're doing a tour, what's the album, when's it coming out, what you're doing, when you're getting this, that and the other. And it's a bit dull. I quite like to have a good old friendly chat and get into a person's life and what they do. And that does take a little bit longer sometimes. But for editing purposes, it has actually been a pleasure talking to you both today. I'm really pleased you could join me. All I have to do now is make sure I don't lose the audio.
Thank you, Paul. Best of luck. And the other thing about the conversation is that's what we try and do on stage as well.
Yeah,
it is the connection and trying to explain,
I think the essence of it is all communication. When any songwriter and musician will tell you, myself personally as well, I'm happy to, as long as I've communicated and somebody's understood the song or they've enjoyed themselves. It's all about that, isn't it?
Yeah, and we will be playing more than one song, but probably talk for 56 minutes.
Exactly. We get time for three or four songs, The rest will be chit-chat. I really do look forward to it. I shall be right up the front listening to you.
Thanks, Paul.
And I dare say I'll see you. You're most welcome. Have a great day. Good luck with the album. And I'll see you
at
Crockery.
See you. Come out. Cheers to your listeners. Cheers.
Bye now. Thank you. Ah, well, thanks, chaps.